Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Good morning and welcome to the Voice of the American Redoubt. This is Radio Free Redoubt, and I'm your host, John Jacob Schmidt, not broadcasting live from the Freedom Fest as we had hoped for and anticipated and looked for eagerly, but it is underway anyway. I'm just not able to be there. We had AMRON, the American Redoubt Radio Operators Network, a nationwide disaster emergency communications network, was activated a couple of days ago in preparation for the landfall of Hurricane Florence, which has taken place and which has been downgraded now to a tropical storm, which makes it especially dangerous now, what the climatologists were saying. When it went from a Category 4 to a Category 2, all the climatologists were going, no, as all of the people were going, yay, because the climatologists knew that this is going to change things, making this an extremely dangerous storm, not just about the high winds, but about the rain and the sustained winds and high winds. I mean, 80-mile-an-hour winds is nothing to sneeze at. So that's what's going on in North Carolina. The American Redoubt Radio Operators Network has been activated along with several other volunteer emergency communications networks, the Saturn, the Salvation Army Team Emergency Radio Network. Although they've just stood down, I'm going to talk about that. But that's what I'm going to talk about this evening or this morning, because yesterday evening was a late night running nets and coordinating all the administrative stuff. And I can't tell you what an amazing network these people are. I just want to these guys that are looking out for other people that are trapped inside the impacted area. Those people inside the impacted area were the eyes and ears for the rest of us. So we were able to feed news and information into them. They were able to let us know what was going on where they are as power was going down, as conventional commercial communications was going down. They were able to put those reports out to us. So there's a lot of tired people who've been selflessly sacrificing, tirelessly working long hours through the night, middle of the night, across the country, to make sure that folks who need it have a lifeline to the outside world, to call for help if needed. The Cajun Navy has obviously been deployed. They have helped rescue many, many people. So there's a lot going on where Americans are able to come to the aid of their fellow countrymen, and it's just a very, very rewarding thing to be a part of. We're tired, but it is, once again, it's rewarding. So no, we are not at the Freedom Fest live streaming as we were hoping that we were going to be able to do, that I was supposed to be there, but we are in the middle of operations right now supporting those that are now facing flooding. So I'm going to talk about that a little bit, because there's some pretty cool stories that have come out of this, but I just want to give you a little taste of what we got to be a part of and what we are a part of right now. But just as the hurricane was making landfall, we had operators that were reporting, and there's one in particular who was reporting from right there where the hurricane was making landfall, in a community that took the brunt of the hurricane when it first came in, and he's putting out situation reports so that we can keep track of these folks. So listen to this.
QST Amron, this is Golf 8 Romeo. Stat rep is as follows. This is New Hanover County, Wilmington, North Carolina. Items of interest, line 10 power. We have power is out. It's a no. And line item 14, communications are partial. All other items are a yes. This is Golf 8 Romeo.
Golf 8 Romeo, this is Fox Rockabeck. I have your stat report at 1801 Zulu. 10 power is out and 14 partial communication. This is Fox Rockabeck 0.
Roger that, Fox Rock Quebec. And I'm going to start bringing up my backup power here within the next hour or so by 0500 Eastern. I'll have the radios up.
Copy on that. I'm showing a wind gust right at your area, off and on, about 100 miles an hour. So just FYI for you.
All right. They sound a little tired, don't they? That was, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning for them? And these guys have been doing nets and keeping in contact with those inside the affected area. But what you heard there is a status report, and that's what our radio operators train and practice to do and are encouraged to do, is send out a status report to let everyone else outside the area, outside of the affected area, know where the power outages are and where communications is still up as far as conventional communications, sanitation, roadways, for mobility purposes, transportation. So they put out a status report, and then of course information is going in, letting them know what's happening from the outside, where we have access to the what we call the grid up world. We're able to watch the satellite tracking and storm watches and tornado watches, and then put that out over the air, over the radio, for those who are without electricity, oftentimes without commercial news and radio to listen to. So they're able to quickly disseminate that information to their communities. Like this example of tornado warnings that were issued for several counties in North Carolina. And one of our net control stations put the information out to all of the other radio operators so that they could disseminate that in their area and local networks to warn others almost as quickly as a news station might be able to do. So here's an example of that.
QST Amron. This is Bravo 6-5 with information on the weather update. We have tornado warnings for the following counties. Once again, we have tornado county warnings just issued for the following counties in North Carolina: Wayne County in North Carolina, Carteret County in North Carolina, Jones County in North Carolina, and Onslow counties in North Carolina. Once again, a tornado warning for Wayne, Carteret County, Jones County, and Onslow counties in North Carolina. Tornado warning. Bravo 6-5.
All right. So there's just another example. Now, maybe I embellished a little bit, trying to give the impression that we can reach as many people as your local news and radio in a time of an emergency to warn them about tornadoes and so on, other threats. But the fact of the matter is they don't reach as many people. And the reason why is because just like we saw leading up to the hurricane, people don't prepare in advance. And that's one of the things that we really push for here at Radio Free Redoubt is self-reliance. You don't have to be go overboard and make, prepping, your new hobby and lifestyle that consumes you. But we want you to be a prepper in the sense that you're prepared for a disaster, so that when you show up to the store, well, you don't need to show up to the store, because those that are showing up to the store are seeing shelves that are completely wiped out. They can't buy bottled water fast enough. But the self-reliant citizen not only has some bottled water stored up, but they also have water filtration systems. So they don't have to worry about running out of bottles of water, because with the water filter, they have endless supply of water, because they can make their own. They can filter water, they're all flooded right now, so there's no shortage of water, right? But it's not clean water. So the same thing with communications. When communications go down, commercial communications, there are very few alternatives for getting accurate and timely information. So we really stress, of course, in Amron, the whole emphasis there is emergency communications for being able to receive the shortwave radio or a scanner, and specifically, or especially if you can, two-way radios. And then these operators that you're listening to, they are capable of very advanced communications using laptops with software that allows them to send text and digital messages and even emails back and forth to each other and throughout the network. Of course, that's somebody who's heavily invested in that. But each of these operators that you're hearing, they don't expect everybody in their neighborhood to have that level of communications. But all you need to have is basic level communications to reach that one guy who does have those advanced skills, because he's the lifeline for that community to the outside world. Just like the case where you're hearing where the operator gave his status report where he was located as far as grid down, power down, he acted as a liaison for his local church, where the pastor and the associate pastor and their wives stayed at the church to be prepared to be a jump-off point for rescue and relief efforts, and to even provide it as a shelter. He took a handheld radio over to the church to give to the pastor so that they would have a link for communications. So this Amron operator was able to keep them informed using this handheld radio, and they were also able to reach him, who could then convey messages and information outside the affected area. So this is how it's supposed to work. But back to the news and the tornado alerts. The net control operators and the other radio operators operating on various different frequencies were putting that information out, but very few people received it. And the reason why is because most people have not made communications a priority in their emergency preparedness plan, other than a couple of small handheld, walkie-talkies that they can keep track of their friends and family in very close proximity. But those are, close-in tactical communications, not necessarily operational level or even strategic level communications. So I'm going to be talking about that next week at the Inland Northwest Preparedness Prepper Fest, the Preparedness Expo, I should say. And I will be at that. I'm not going to miss that. That event is going to be, September 22nd and 23rd in Sandpoint, Idaho, Bonner County Fairgrounds, where you can learn about self-reliance from multiple workshops that are going to take place over a two-day period. I will be speaking, of course, about emergency communications, and I will be talking about some other stuff too. But then Glenn Tate, the author of 299 Days, he's going to be there. And by the way, he just joined Amron Corps, and so did, Shelby Gallagher, the author of A Great State, and also the second book coming out in October. But she's going to be there, and she's going to be speaking as well, and she just joined Amron. So a lot of folks have been emphasizing self-defense, firearms, food, and then they throw in medical, and then the last thing they throw on is communications. So they're at that stage now where they're ready to take their communications up about 10 notches So they've joined Amron too. So great to have them aboard. But it's going to be really good to spend some time with them. There's going to be some great vendors there. Water purification and storage, food storage, medicinal herbs, wood gas, the other solar power. They're going to be there. Ladies, they've got selecting your handgun workshop and seminar, intro to emergency communications, radio communications in the field, go bags for home, work, or travel, and first responder first aid. All that and a lot more. It's only $3 for adults, $2 if you bring non-perishable food donation. And if you're under 12, you're free. So take your kids. Make it a family event. You can go check out their website at inwprepexpo.com. And then also, don't forget to put on your calendar, Friday, September 28th, Pastor Sharam Hadian is going to be putting on a presentation about the war on Christians. Now, this, you guys know, Pastor Sharam Hadian, a local pastor right here in the Spokane Valley, hated for the cause of Christ. On Friday, September 28th, at La Belle La Vie Event Center, he's going to be putting on a presentation. You know, he's a former Muslim, became a Christian, and then became a pastor. He's going to talk about how we're seeing silence from the church in the face of evil. He's going to talk about a global Christian genocide that's happening before our eyes, a virtual genocide, destroying, killing people on the internet. Well, one day they're going to be doing it for real. Well, he's going to be talking about this global Christian genocide that's happening and give recent examples of growing persecution of Christians right here in America. He's going to talk about how the spread of Islam leads to greater persecution of Jews and Christians, how the unbiblical interfaith movement is complicit in the persecution of true Bible-believing Christians. And then, of course, he's going to talk about the interfaith church issue, which is a huge issue, and exposing the Islamophobia hoaxes. He's going to be talking about a lot more. So don't forget to check that out. Friday, September 28th, 7 p.m. at La Belle Vie in Spokane Valley. You don't want to miss that one. All right, we're going to come back. We're going to talk about a couple of executive summaries that these signal centers, what we call SIGSENs, put out. We had a Georgia/South Carolina SIGSEN. It's right on the border. So a lot of these guys live in South Carolina. A lot of them live in Georgia, but they're all very close proximity to one another. Kind of like Coeur d'Alene, Spokane residents putting together a communication center. That's what these guys have done. The Georgia-South Carolina SIGSEN, and then the Piedmont Triad Signals Center in North Carolina. They were carrying a lot of heavy weight. Something else very cool that's going on related to this, we saw in Hurricane Katrina, their knee-jerk reaction was to disarm all the citizens. Well, North Carolina's got a law that won't tolerate that. And we're going to talk about that when we come back. So stay right there. This is Radio Free Redoubt.
Evelyn with a communication tip in a minute from Radio Free Redoubt. When it comes to monitoring for information using a scanner or a shortwave receiver, it's a great idea to pre-program the frequencies you'll be monitoring now. This will eliminate additional stress during an emergency situation by being able to go right to a desired frequency or set of frequencies at the push of a button. It's also a great idea to keep a printed hard copy of the frequencies next to your communications equipment with the names of the channels as well as the pre-programmed channel preset numbers. And remember to practice using your communications equipment often. This has been a public service announcement to support the CH3 Project and AMRON, the American Readout Radio Operators Network.
We're We're back with segment two here at Radio Free Redoubt, talking about emergency communications. But first, I want to thank our sponsor for segment one back there, Werks Holsters. WERKZ.com is the website where you can go check out more about getting a custom holster, Kydex holsters, top quality, made right here in the American Redoubt with a lifetime guarantee on all their products. Werks Holsters. Now, WorksHolsters.com, I should say. And for this segment, I want to thank our friends over there at Riverfront Suites in St. Mary's, Idaho on the sleepy, beautiful St. Joe. Think about it. Hey, it's fall. The leaves are going to start turning. It's going to be beautiful. Be a nice little weekend getaway. RiverfrontSuites.com. All right, now, we're talking about emergency communications as we are at AMCON 1 right now. Not a training exercise. That's a real-world incident that's taking place where emergency communications radio operators are on the air and monitoring and prepared to take emergency communications traffic and standing by as a lifeline for those who are caught inside the affected area, the impact zones. And someone was saying, well, you know, it was a category four, then category two, now it's a tropical storm, so let's all pack up and go home, but not so fast. Someone even asked me, John Jacob, are we still activated since the downgrade to a tropical storm? I'm assuming we still are with floodings, et cetera. Well, he answered his own question. Yes, absolutely. With the flooding, we are that is the danger right there, that sustained rain and high winds. It doesn't have to be 140-mile-an-hour winds to do damage, but it's the wind that just never lets up, that just pummels and weakens and then destroys things, topples trees, especially when you've got all that red clay in North Carolina. No place. It doesn't absorb it. It just has no place to go. It'll sit there and stagnant for weeks, 100% humidity and 80s and 90 degrees. And it's just got to evaporate. It doesn't, there's no place for it to go. So this is going to create a mess. They're expecting 18 inches of rain in many places. Some reports are even saying 30 to 40 inches of rain. 30 to 40 inches of rain. See, this is where the climatologist went, oh my goodness, this the way this is changing, it's category four, now it's just a tropical storm, nothing to worry about. Well, the problem is it slowed down where it's creeping along, the storm is creeping along at like 1, 2, 3 miles an hour. So it's not moving out of the area very quickly, and it is dumping just torrential rain. And so it's the flooding, that's what's going to take out additional backup generators and topple trees and prevent mobility for transportation and rescue workers. And several of these, one of these executive summaries that I received talked about the flooding and the levels of all these just lakes alone, not to mention the rivers that are overflowing. So there's going to be a lot of people underwater. They're going to be grid down. And this is where people start to get stranded. And the Cajun Navy is already in the area, have already rescued several people. There'll be many more because people will be stranded. No way to call for help. All they can do is get up on their roof and wave a sign until somebody sees them. So that's what's going on. The Salvation Army team of emergency radio operators, their network, they're standing down. They've deactivated. They closed down. For Hurricanes Florence and Isaac, Saturn is now back to their training mode. And they're saying the National Hurricane Center reported that both Florence and Isaac are no longer hurricanes but tropical storms. So let's go home. But AMRON will be on the air for – we will assess. And as long as it appears that there is enough relief and aid effort or enough of the grid has come back up that people are able to get out using conventional means, then we'll make that determination. But we plan for 7 to 10 days. That's a long time. We got some great folks. So I'm really estimating realistically probably a couple, 2 or 3 more days before we start to see a lot of aid and relief actually get in there and start helping those people. So, but there's something that I wanted to mention here real quick in just the last couple of minutes. I got a this is very encouraging. The reason why I'm going to mention this is because our listeners, well, anywhere, but inside the American Redoubt, this is something we might be able to push. This is a letter that somebody sent that it's a Second Amendment group in North Carolina. They're kind of like the state-level version of the NRA, but on steroids. The state of North Carolina does not allow an entity to limit the legal possession of firearms during a state of emergency. Did you know that? The GRNC is monitoring state of emergency declarations across the state for any language that bans the legal possession of firearms. And when they find violations of the state law, they contact them and educate them on the state law. So thank you for sending this in. I've got this. We're going to post it in the highlights and resources posting for this show. But this is their letter. State of Emergency Gun Ban Background. The GNRC's sister entity, Rights Watch International, was a key plaintiff in the 2012 federal case that struck down North Carolina's unconstitutional provision that allowed for restrictions on lawful Second Amendment activities during a state of emergency declaration. And soon thereafter, because of their efforts, those restrictive laws were stricken from North Carolina law unanimously in the North Carolina Senate, and with only one nay vote in the North Carolina House, and replaced by a clear language allowing no Second Amendment infringements during a state of emergency. So I'll let you post I'm going to post this in a highlights and resources posting, so you guys can see this and read up on it yourself. And if you don't have a law like this in your state, then get one. All right, that's it, guys. Join us tomorrow night for our 8 o'clock podcast, Sunday evening, right here. I'm going to be even more tired than I am now, but that's all right. We're in this. We're in this for the long haul, right? Okay, guys, have a blessed week. Be safe out there. Be praying for our brothers and sisters that are caught in the impact zone. That's they've got a rough road ahead of them over the next several days and weeks there in the Southeast. That's it. Okay, we'll talk to you tomorrow night. This is John Jacob Schmidt. My name is your name too.